our salutatorian, Bryson Cornwell, will come.
I don't know if you can tell, I'm a little nervous. Last time I spoke in front of this many people, I was up there in the baptismal in an angel costume, reading scripture. This is a major step up. Ladies and gentlemen, friends and family, faculty and staff, thank you on behalf of the senior class for coming out tonight. It means a lot to us. I'm sure some of you may have traveled a great distance to be here tonight. Some of you rushed here, some of you were early, some of you were right on time, and possibly some of you were late. But the important thing to see here is that we made it. I at times like to think that all of our lives could be made into separate books with different stories, events, and experiences. If I ask you this, if you were to give your book a title, what would it be? I know what mine would be, short and simple. Do not read. Everyone has a beginning and an end, just as every book and chapter within it. My life at Sumter Christian School began in the 8th grade, a short time compared to some who have been here since as early as K-3. I was young, younger than I am now at least, and I was ignorant, thinking I knew it all. I was hard-headed, quick to react, disobedient, and selfish. I was unsure of what my future held and if I could succeed here at Sumter Christian on my own. I was above all scared to ask for help and to let someone in, as I am sure we have all been at times. But when I finally opened my eyes and realized that my teachers were here for more than just assigning homework, talking for long periods of time, and administrating demerits, I saw that my teachers, along with the other faculty and staff, were always open to talk to. Sometimes they had matters to attend before they were able, but once they were done, they sat down with you and talked. They would give advice, try to help us through hardships, and encourage us to pray over our matters. I am sure each of us in this class is a teacher that we admire, someone we strive to be like, someone we look up to, and someone we try to ask as many questions as we can in hopes to learn more from them. Our teachers have worked hard to give us a better start in this ever-changing world and to help us through these years of schooling, and honestly, I still don't know how you put up with some of us. Nevertheless, I am sure that we as a class can appreciate your efforts, and I would like to say thank you for always being open to talk to, for always being a helping hand, and for always pushing us to do better than we believed we were able. Ms. Rawlings, thank you for helping us plan fundraisers, events, and for teaching us those strange characters, long words, and confusing definitions in math. But most of all, thank you and Mr. Adams for making our senior trip a memorable one. Pastor Davis, thank you for all you have done, both in public and behind the scenes, for this school and our class. Mr. Topper, thank you for strengthening our knowledge of the scriptures and coaching some of us through baseball. Ms. Hankins, thank you for teaching us that the English language is a very complicated and that snuck is still not a word. Mr. Merritt, thank you for teaching us about economics and history, both ancient and new, and good morning. Inside joke. And to all the teachers, family, friends, and other faculty that helped us over these past few years that are too numerous to list in this one speech, thank you. Each of us this year and prior years has experienced hardships, setbacks, drama, conflicts, late nights, missed days, missed assignments, and I am sure each of us has messed up something somewhere somehow. We are human after all. I like to think that, in spite of the pain we may have incurred, or in some cases caused, all of it has led up to this moment. It has helped to shape us, direct us, and to humble us. Tonight, as we walk across this stage, we close a chapter in our lives. This chapter, though it felt so long, it was only a blimp in comparison to the chapters to come. And in three short months, we start our next chapter. I close my speech with a quote from C.S. Lewis that I believe can be directed toward the senior class of 2019. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending.
One of our seniors, Leah Scott, has a special song, People Need the Lord. Leah?
People day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life, only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? For people need the Lord. People need the Lord.
Thank you, Leah. My privilege to introduce our speaker this evening. Dr. David Boyd teaches introductory biology and animal biology at Bob Jones University. He earned a BS in biology with a minor in chemistry from Bob Jones University in 1996, earned both his master's in 1998 and his PhD in entomology in 2001 from Clemson University. His graduate work focused on the biological control of insects and function of digestive enzymes and mouthpart morphology in predaceous and herbivorous insects. Boy, what a... Dr. Boyd was employed as a research entomologist for 5.5 years at USDA Agricultural Research Service, Horticultural Research Station in Poplarville, Mississippi. His training and experience give him a unique perspective that is invaluable in training students to think like biologists. Dr. Boyd has a long history at Bob Jones University. His paternal grandparents taught at BJU. His father and mother attended BJU. However, it was only after Dr. Boyd graduated from Bob Jones University in 1996 that he called on the name of the Lord Jesus to save him from his sins. After growing up in a Christian home and living a hypocritical life for so long, Dr. Boyd has a desire to see his students live out their Christian faith that stems from his own past failures and his compassion for them. During graduate school, Dr. Boyd faced many challenges because of his belief that God created the world. Even though many of his graduate professors tried to get him to forsake his commitment to creation, one of his professors challenged him to learn as much about evolution as he could so that he could be a better creation scientist. Dr. Boyd challenges his students with the same idea in all his classes, but especially in Bio 300, Evolution and Origins. Dr. Boyd was married in 1998 to Jennifer, and she is here with us tonight, and they have five children. His family is active at Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Greenville, where he's currently serving as a lay elder. He drives one of the church buses to pick up Bob Jones University students on Sunday and often has his personal vehicle full of students when not driving the bus. He is an active vegetable gardener and maintains a small flock of egg-laying hens. He also enjoys bird watching with family and friends. This was on his faculty page at Bob Jones University. And in addition to that, Dr. Boyd was a student at Sumter Christian School. In his younger years, his parents moved to Georgia right after his sixth grade year. I was his sixth grade teacher, and I think they thought that was all they could take and they were going to get out of the state there. And so it's a pleasure to have Dr. Boyd back and see him again after so many years being part of our school and his parents a part of our church as well. Dr. David Boyd, good to have you with us tonight.
Yeah, it is good here. It is good to be here tonight, and I want to extend congratulations to the class of Sumter Christian School 2019. So that means I got to look at them, right? Congratulations. So I teach on a regular basis, but usually the people I speak to are in front of me, so this is definitely something new for me. I'm speaking to them. this is good. Well, I know that you, the graduates, are here to receive the diploma that you've earned over many years of schooling. So how does it feel? Excited? I think I would be excited. Some of you have been here since K-3. You're ready to get out of here, right? Yeah. And others have just been here for just a few years and just one. So let me ask you, do you want to come back next year and do it all over again? No? Okay, I think they're ready to go. Well, as Mr. Davis said, I attended Sumter Christian School during my elementary school years, first through sixth grade. My family moved to Sumter in 1979, and I had the privilege of being in Miss Maxey's first grade class, and I think it was her last. And when I was in first grade, she looked like she was 80, so I don't know how old she was at that time. I have some very fond memories of Sumter Christian School, some memories that I laugh about now, but they weren't very funny back then, and a lot of those stem from the fact that my mom was the secretary, and I had to pass her office to go to the principal's office, which was often. Well, in 1984, I entered Mr. Davis's sixth grade classroom, and I don't know why I'm getting emotional right now, but I am emotional, and it's okay. But I did. I went to Mr. Davis's sixth grade classroom, 1984. And since Mr. Davis asked me to come speak tonight, I've had a lot of good memories thinking back to those days. Well, I know that I wasn't the best student, and I definitely know I wasn't his best behaved student, but I do know this, I was a loved student. Mr. Davis loved me, and I remember that. The Lord knew that I needed a tall, strong man for sixth grade. I did. And before Mr. Davis came, we didn't have that as a sixth grade teacher, but that's what I needed. And the Lord gave him to me 35 years ago, and I thank the Lord for that. Well, the summer of 85, my Dad took another job and we moved away from here. And isn't it amazing that here in 2019, the Lord's allowed me to come back and address these 6 graduating students? Well, really, they're doing what I desired to do back when I was in 6th grade. I had a desire to graduate from Sumter Christian School. Well, I want to take a few minutes and address Bryson and Matt and Daniel and Anna and Annabelle and Leah. And I'm going to have a hard time doing it because they're behind me. But I'm going to do it anyway. But you 6 are the ones here finishing your high school education. And really, isn't that the reason we're here? To honor them. Well, I do have a question for you to consider, you 6. All right? So you're going to have to answer some questions. You okay? Okay. Very good. From what I've learned about each of you, all of you are planning to continue your education in college. And so that tells me that you understand that it's really important to obtain more knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Actually, you sense the need that you have. You actually need more wisdom, don't you? Well, if you don't, your parents know that you do. Okay. So the question for you tonight is this. What is the starting point, or what's the foundation for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding? What's the foundation? Is that a good question? Because you need to know that, right? The whole foundation. Well, the answer to this question from a Christian perspective is not difficult. And it's really not hard to find in the Bible. We're going to look at the answer in the section of the Bible that's called the wisdom literature. Isn't that a good place to look for the foundation for wisdom and knowledge and understanding? The wisdom literature. So let's look at that. I'm going to read several passages here, and I'm going to use almost all of the wisdom literature components of that. I'm going to start with Job 28:28. And this is God speaking. He said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." We're going to move into the Psalter from Psalm 111, verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever." Now, if you understand parallelism, which is in this wisdom literature here, there's the fear of the Lord, and then in the parallel line, it's keep his commandments. And then the other aspects that's parallel there is wisdom and understanding. So there's a connection there between the fear of the Lord and keeping God's commandments. And let's move into Proverbs, where we really find a lot of words about where understanding and wisdom and knowledge comes from. Proverbs 1:7 is probably the most well-known to us. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And then Proverbs 3:7, which comes after Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which we all know well, right? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him." And what does it mean to acknowledge him? Does it mean, oh, hey, God, acknowledge him? No, to know God. "In all your ways, know God, and he will direct your paths." Well, what does verse 7 then say? "Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Proverbs 9:10 was the passage that I initially was hoping to give to you guys tonight, and then I kept finding all these others that said the exact same thing. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." And then Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." And then if we move into Ecclesiastes, which is the last part of the wisdom literature, and the last chapter, and almost the last verse, Ecclesiastes 12:13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man." So based on the wisdom literature, what's the foundation for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding? Tell me, what is it? I hear the fear of the Lord. How about I say it this way? The fear of the Lord, right? The fear of the Lord is the foundation, right? Did you hear that over and over and over again? Did I make that up? No, it's right there in the scripture. Well, what is the fear of the Lord? If that's the foundation for our knowledge, foundation for our wisdom, is that's what we need for understanding, we really need to know what it is. Let me give you a definition, and this is a paraphrase from Charles Bridges, who wrote a really fine commentary in Proverbs. He says, the fear of the Lord is deep love of a Christian for God. Did you get that? Fear of the Lord is a deep love. That doesn't sound right, does it? But we're going to see that it is right. It's a deep love of a Christian for God so that he doesn't want to do anything that will hinder his relationship with his Heavenly Father. He humbly and carefully bends his will to whatever pleases his Heavenly Father. So what is the fear of the Lord? It's really this desire to not do anything to displease God. That's what it is. Well, let's think about this just a little bit. We often think about fear, about being scared, but how many of you have been going down the highway and you see a car parked to the side with a blue light on top, and what do? You take your foot off the gas, right? Some of you have to put your brake on, right? But why? Because there's a sense of fear there, right? You're not scared, but you know there's some authority there, and if he does what he's supposed to do, he's going to pull you over and give you a ticket, right? And some of us have that idea as the fear of the Lord, right? He's up in heaven, and he sees everything we do, and we need to be scared about that. Well, some of us need that, right? But that's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about that kind of fear. I'm going to illustrate it like this. I'm going to go back to my sixth grade class. Right? I had a fear of Mr. Davis. Now, what kind of fear did I have? Well, when I first walked in the class, it was a fear of awe. He is a big man, right? Compared to me, I was a scrawny little kid. A big man. Whoa. I'm not going to do anything to displease him, right? But you remember what I said? I'm going to get emotional again. Is that I learned that he loved me, right? And so by the time you get to the end of the sixth grade year, I didn't want to do anything to displease him. Matter of fact, I was trying to do everything I could to please him, right? And here's a big guy, and you know, you finally get that A on that spelling test, and what do you want to do? You want to go give him a hug, right? But still, that's a sense of fear, right? Because you want to please him. So when we talk about the fear of the Lord, what are we talking about? Being scared? Well, sometimes that's an aspect of it. But it really is coming to the point where you don't want to do anything to displease him. So what does that mean you're going to do? Keep his commandments. Well, how does this fit in with the New Testament? Is that a good question? Because everything I gave you was the Old Testament, right? How does that fit in with the New Testament? Well, 1 Peter 1, we're told to be holy because our Father is holy, and to live out our sojourning here in fear because we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. So that aspect is there, but really what's the overarching idea, especially in Jesus' teaching, boils down to this. Let's see if you recognize these words. Somebody asked him, what was the greatest command? Or what do I need to do? And he said, love. Right? Love what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That is the whole duty of man. Right? Well, what's the whole duty of man from Ecclesiastes? Fear God. What's the whole duty of man? Love God. That's what that is. Love God with all your being, everything that you have. Well, Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy 6. And do you know what Deuteronomy 6 is? It's really the passage to the Israelites about teaching their children to fear the Lord. It's what it says. How do you fear the Lord? Teach them to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what that is. Well, let me try to help you understand this in a personal way. Mr. Davis told you that I'm a trained scientist in the field of entomology. Do you guys know what entomology is? What's that? Yeah, it's not insects, but it's a study of insects. Yeah, right? You guys know that? So I'm an entomologist, and it might be the first time an entomologist spoke at this high school graduation. Is that pretty true? I don't know. There's some really good entomologists around, by the way. I had a lot of them as professors. Well, as a Christian Scientist, my desire is to increase in my understanding of how insects work and how I can help other people reduce their problems, because insects can cause problems, right? So, as an entomologist, is the fear of the Lord still the foundation for understanding, knowledge, and wisdom? That's a fair question, right? The answer is absolutely. I'm fulfilling the creation mandate to exercise dominion over creation. Right? I'm learning how insects work. I can help growers produce their crops at a much cheaper rate. I can prevent problems because of over-pesticide use. So many different ways. And why does it stem for me? Because I fear God, and I love Him, and I want to do this for Him. And it gives me great joy as a Christian entomologist to be able to do that. Well, currently I'm a professor at Bob Jones University, and I teach biology there. And I get to teach college students about things like photosynthesis and cellular respiration and DNA and how enzymes work, and fun classes like parasitology and invertebrate zoology, right? And entomology too, get to teach that. I really am committed to the accuracy of the Bible, as Mr. Davis told you, and I hold to a literal six-day creation that took place just a few thousand years ago. But guess what I get to do? I get to teach evolution to my students, and I get to teach them evolution so that they know it better than evolutionists do. And that's going to help them. But why do I do that? Because I fear the Lord, and I love the Lord with all my heart. Can I actually teach as a Christian biologist without the fear of the Lord? Well, I can, but is that worthwhile? No way. What motivates me to teach biology is that I fear the Lord, that I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and with all my mind. Well, what about you, graduates? Bryce, here you want to be an engineer? You like math? You do? Hard math? Hard math? Okay, so my dad is a mathematician, and he says you got to get through calculus before you can get to the real math. That's what he says. I don't know what that means or not. But that's what you're going to have to do. Okay? It's a tough major. Can you succeed as a Christian engineer without the fear of the Lord? No, you can't. You've got to fear the Lord. To be a Christian engineer, you've got to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I mean, you have people's lives at stake as an engineer. And to do that as a Christian, you must love the Lord. So, Anna, you want to go in the medical profession? Right? You know how many lives you're going to have in your hands? That's dangerous, right? You really need to fear the Lord and to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But you're going to get to learn some really cool things about the human body. Well, guess who created that? God created that. And if you fear Him and you love Him, that actually becomes even more amazing. It's incredible when you take that perspective and you look at that. Where are you, Matt? You're right there. Right? Matt, you're planning to go to college to further your education too. Well, if you leave out the fear of the Lord, you're really leaving off the foundation for everything that you're going to learn. You got to fear the Lord, and you must love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the way that you can do that. You can study and learn for God's glory. Well, Daniel over here is a big guy, right? And to go into criminal justice, that's what he needs, right? You're eventually going to be dealing with some real difficult people. Right, in criminal justice, but I want you to know that God deals with those kind of people all the time, doesn't He? But He does, He deals with those people with mercy and grace, and always with justice. How are you going to learn how to do the same thing unless you fear Him and love Him with all your being? You won't be able to do that unless you fear Him. And Leah, bless your heart, you want to be a teacher. That's what I do, by the way. I'm a teacher. But English? Ooh, okay. That takes a special kind of person to teach English. But to learn skills to be an effective teacher, you have to be close to the perfect teacher, right? And if you're that way, you're going to fear Him and love Him. So Annabelle, you know what I'm going to say? Kind of get the general gist here. right? Really, you got to fear the Lord. Go on with your education and fear the Lord. Honor him and serve him. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And if you're going to work with computers and be an engineer and be successful, you're going to be successful by fearing the Lord as a Christian. Well, really, none of you can truly fear the Lord and love him if you're not a Christian, right? That, you can't. Well, can you go to college and be successful in life without being a Christian? Well, absolutely. The world is full of successful unbelievers, right? It truly is that way. But you can be a successful, but can you be successful as a Christian without the fear of the Lord? No, you can't. You can be successful in the world's eye as a Christian without the fear of the Lord, but you can't have true success. Well, much of my life was lived as an unbeliever. I got the privilege of attending this Christian school and two other Christian schools in Georgia. And then I attended Bob Jones University and graduated there with my degree in biology. And my dad did tell me I could go anywhere I wanted to for college, but he would only pay for one. So I went there. I really only had one choice. Well, I got a good education, and I was accepted into graduate school, so I must have gained some pretty good knowledge and understanding, right? But I wasn't a believer. I was living a lie. I could live like a Christian when I was around Christians, and I could live like the world when I was with unbelievers. Now, does that sound like somebody who really fears the Lord? No, that sounds like what? Like a hypocrite, right? And that's who I was, a hypocrite. Well, the Bible tells us that that way of living that I was living is the way to destruction. Well, praise the Lord, God was gracious to me, and he saved me the summer before I entered into graduate school. I've heard tell of people who go to secular colleges and lose their faith. I'm going to tell you that true believers don't lose their faith. They don't. They can't. Unbelievers who act like Christians, like I did, eventually just reveal who they really are. That's what's happening. And I'm confident that if the Lord had not saved me that summer before going to graduate school, I too would have gone the way of the world and been successful in the world's eyes, but on my way to eternal destruction. Well, God saved me when I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, who sent Jesus into the world to die on the cross to pay the penalty of my sin. He was buried for 3 days. And then God the Father raised Jesus bodily. He conquered sin and death, and now Jesus lives forever at the right hand of the Father. He does this for you and for me. So I really want to tell you guys, the only way that you can truly fear God, the only way that you can love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is by being in Christ. It's the only way possible. So do you know that you're saved? Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to come and to challenge you to fear the Lord. Remember this, I think you'll get this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Well, congratulations, Leah and Annabelle and Anna, Matt, Daniel, and Bryson. I praise the Lord for you, and we'll be praying for you.
Thank you, Dr. Boyd. I'm going to ask our valedictorian, Matthew McIntyre, would you come for your speech, please?
Thank you, Pastor. Esteemed guests, faculty, family, friends, classmates, and fellow graduates, we made it to the end. The road between first grade and 12th grade is a long, winding road, paved with tears of joy and heartache, paved with successes and failures. It is all part of growing up, or so I'm told. But neither I nor my fellow graduates walked this road alone. It is at this time I would like to express my appreciation to a few specific groups and individuals. I would like to thank the amazing faculty of Sumter Christian School, who regularly stay hours after school has ended to tutor students, offer college guidance, assist with projects, and answer questions. You made this day possible. I would also like to thank the parents of the students of Sumter Christian, who through their sacrifice, both monetarily and of time, choose to give their kids Christian education. I can assure you, it's money well spent. I would like to thank Dr. Boyd for graciously coming to speak to us and for providing my fellow graduates and me with much needed advice. Now I thought I would quickly summarize what I have learned at Sumter Christian into three main points. The first point is to dream. One of the first things Sumter Christian teaches you is, in the beginning, God, period. They teach you that the Almighty Creator made us and put in us a part of Himself. The God we serve is artistic, creative, and a God of both small and big things. And just like our Creator, we too have artistic, creative dreams still within us, dreams that can make the world a better place. But by itself, a dream doesn't do much good. The bridge between reality and a dream is work, and work takes perseverance. And that brings me to the second point of what Sumter Christian has taught me, and that is to persevere. For many students in the school, this year was not easy. Many of us faced challenges, whether physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. Sometimes it even seemed as if all of these challenges would hit us all at once. However, this school has taught me that I must dust myself off, say a prayer to the Lord, and dig myself out. And if life has buried you, then that is what you must do. You must dig yourself out. And if you can't come out with a shovel, then come out with a spoon. One quote I consistently heard used in fifth grade was to keep on keeping on. Sumter Christian has taught me that I am responsible for me. I am responsible for the messes I create. Therefore, I am responsible for the solutions. And this brings me to the final point of what I have learned at Sumter Christian, that you must believe in yourself. During my 13 years at Sumter Christian, I have been in hundreds of chapel messages and Bible classes. Many times I have heard the verse, Philippians 4:13, which comes from a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. The verse, Philippians 4:13, reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whenever this verse was talked about, the teacher would focus on the last half of the verse that states, through Christ who strengthens me. While I understand the importance of those words, through Christ who strengthens me, I would like to point out another part of that verse. The first two words, I can. Before Paul believes in God, he believes in himself. There have been many times where I've prayed and asked God to help me with something. I believed he could do it, but I didn't believe I could do it. And therefore, my prayer did not come to fruition. However, thanks to my time at Sumter Christian, those two words, I can, are two words I will never forget. That is what an education at Sumter Christian entails. And thanks to that education, I know that is what each of our lives will entail. We will dream, we will persevere, we will believe in ourselves, and Christ will strengthen us. Thank you.